Hey, we're going to be in a few different places in Scripture this morning as we, you guys realize there's, counting today, there's three weekends before Thanksgiving. You guys know it's right on top of us already. And I like Thanksgiving because we get to eat. We get to eat a lot of good food, and sometimes we get involved in cooking it, and sometimes we just show up and eat, you know. So that's either way is a blessing. Get to see people. What's that? And you get to watch football. Yeah, I like that part of it. When I was younger, we'd go outside and play football afterwards. Now I just watch younger people do that. So, look, just so you know, we're going to spend the next three weekends in a series of messages about Thanksgiving or being thankful or gratitude or however the Scripture teaches us to be thankful people. I feel like it's if we're going to be like Jesus, then we probably should be thankful people. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? Jesus was thankful about a lot of things. He thanked the Lord or thanked the Father for things along the way in his ministry while he was on the planet. So let's look into Scripture this morning and kind of look at some examples and maybe discuss them, break them down a bit so that the Lord might have his way in our hearts and help us to continue to grow in that type of an attitude and that type of way of living that would go with our lifestyle of faith that we talked about last Sunday. I'll read this to you, this little brief illustration that helps us kind of get a picture of maybe some things that we might be wanting to think about. In the late 1800s, George Mueller operated an orphanage that at one time had 1,000 orphans. That's a lot of kids, y'all. One morning, there was no food to eat, but he called all the children and staff together and prayed, thanking God for the provision of food, even though no food was on the table. A few moments later, a baker knocked on the door. He told Mr. Mueller that God had led him to bake bread the night before and give it to the orphanage. Before the bread was given to the children, a milkman knocked on the door, and he said the milk truck had broke down and he wanted to give the milk to the orphanage. Just kind of a brief, one small brief story of an act of faith, a lifestyle of faith, together with a lifestyle of gratitude. How many of y'all would say that you are a thankful type of person, generally? I know not always we're living there. You know, there's times when we kind of not just there, you know. But there's, for the most part, we're grateful people. We're thankful to the Lord, especially when it comes to observing our time of communion on Sunday morning. I would hope that would bring us to a time of thankfulness in our life, in our hearts, and in our mind, at least for that moment, right? If there's anything to be thankful for at all, it would be Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross and the love that is offered to us through that. I read that little story of a man who had 1,000 hungry faces with no food. And I started wondering, I wonder what my prayer would have been at that time. How would I have approached the Lord about that? I don't know. I can't honestly say that it would have been exactly the way he prayed. He just went on and prayed for what wasn't there and thanked the Lord for it. That is a prayer of faith. He's thanking God for what he believed God would do. Now, you don't have to raise your hand or nothing like that, but the question really becomes, how often have we prayed like that in our lives? How often have we thanked the Lord for what we can't see and are uncertain of in our life? And I'm, be honest with you, this is your preacher once again, being honest as I can with you, I'm kind of ashamed to answer that question because I don't like the answer. You know? I think at times, I myself or my family have been able to say a prayer similar to that about something going on in our life, thanking the Lord for what we can't see and what we don't know about and what we're confused about, thanking the Lord ahead of time in faith that he's going to do something, but we're not in the, we're not doing it the way that guy did it, and we certainly don't do it the way Jesus would show us. But with the Lord's help and the Spirit of God leading us, maybe, you know, we can grow into that kind of lifestyle. We can grow into that kind of a relationship with our Lord. Because to be honest with you, if I had 1,000 kids, homeless kids, that were in my care and there was nothing on the table, my prayer would have been more like, Lord, we need some food here. Any way you can help us out, or what can we? I'll be sending people down the road. Go knocking on the door, see if you can find some food for these kids. Start taking matters into my own hands. That would be my instinctful reaction to that. This man thanked the Lord for what he believed was going to happen. He may not have known how it was going to happen. He may not have known when it was going to happen. He just thanked the Lord for his provision. And I pray that I, myself, and my family, and this congregation, and the believers around the world, we could continually grow into the kind of people who thank God for the things that we have yet to see. Thank God for the blessings that he has yet to make us aware of. Thank God for the provision that we have yet to experience as a church, as families, as individuals. Just thank God. Right? It's easy to thank God for what's already happened. Right? It's easy to thank. I thank the Lord that you're all here this morning. Right? But I think the way that Scripture teaches us, if we follow our Savior's example, the Lord would want me to thank him for y'all on Saturday night before I see your faces on Sunday morning. Right? And that's just a small example. We're going to look at three different parts of Scripture and see three different examples of how Jesus was a thankful human being while he was on the planet, interacting with other human beings, showing us the way to live. And it seems like a tall order to be like Jesus, doesn't it? If you think about that, it's a tall order. But when you think about how the Lord has set things up, it's not something that's impossible, and it certainly should be easier than what we're making it. Because we have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God. So being like Jesus is probably a bit easier than what we think it is, if we just allow the Lord to do what he does. So first off, we look at Matthew chapter 15 in verse 35 to 37. All right? Matthew chapter 15, 35 to 37. If some reason y'all, that's too dark for y'all, I apologize. You have to just open up your Bible and look at it there. I didn't realize it was going to be that dark till I put it up on the screen this morning. Matthew chapter 15, verses 35. This is where Jesus, one of those times where Jesus was feeding a lot of people, miraculously, right? Which, I love those kind of stories because it's just, to me, it just, it's one of the moments where I was like, man, I wish I would have been there to see how that happened, or at least to witness what happened, and still walk away going, don't know how that happened, but look at it. And here he is. People got hungry. And he says in verse 32, I said, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. So they found some food. They had how many loaves do you have in verse 34? And they said, seven and a few small fish. Seven loaves of bread and a few small fish. And here's what happened in verse 35. He directed the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks. He broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left of the broken pieces, seven large baskets full. I listen to people pray over their meals quite often, actually, when we're eating together. And I don't think I've ever really heard an inappropriate prayer over somebody's meal, right? As long as we're returning thanks and being grateful for our meal. However, this caused me to think, if I'm gonna pray like Jesus, if I'm gonna be thankful like Jesus, he wasn't really asking the Lord to use the food to be a blessing to the people. He thanked the Father for the food, for the grain that was used to make the bread. He thanked the Father for the little bit of bread they had and the little bit of fish that they had. He thanked the Creator for creating the food chain that we all live in, right? If it's not for the Creator, first off, we wouldn't exist, and second, we wouldn't have nothing to eat. Whether you're a meatitarian or vegetarian, that statement is true. It all comes from God. I don't know if tofu comes from God, but hey, maybe it does. Jesus is about to do this miracle with his food. And he does it like so subtle. Like he's not making a big deal about, here's this miracle I'm about to do. Y'all watch this. It's going to be awesome. It's not the way he did it. He just thanked the Father and handed it out. Started handing it out. Now, notice, just as in our example with the orphanage, Jesus is thanking the Father before the miracle happened. Jesus is thanking the Father and then handed out the food. And as the disciples begin to hand it out, the miracle was happening in their hands. That's what it says. And it makes me wonder, and I have no way to know this, but you know, if the disciples are handing out the bread to each family, a little piece of here and a piece there and a piece there, surely the heads of those family are going to serve their family, and they're breaking bread out with each other, and it's the miracle's happening in their hands as well. And even Jesus was thankful to the Father before what was needed happened. When we raise our children, they start talking, right? Some people believe, and I tend to agree with them, the first word most of us, if not all of us, learn is no, or mine. It's a 50-50, it's a neck and neck race right there. But at some point, we start teaching our children to say thank you when someone gives them something or helps them with something. We try to teach them some manners. We teach them to say thank you. Some of us are still working it out, still trying to learn. But you realize we're teaching our children to say thank you after, which is great. It's not wrong. But when we're believers who are living the Christian lifestyle of faith, when we're walking in faith, paying attention to the Word of God in our hearts and minds, with the help of the Holy Spirit in our heart and our mind, we will begin to be thankful before we see the reality of what our prayers are calling for, or whatever the Lord might be doing in our own lives, in our homes, and here in our church. To state the obvious, we hope that people will come here and worship with us and serve with us and even get saved. Isn't that what it's all about? And it's easy, it's real easy, and it happens more often than it should, that smaller congregations get so discouraged because they don't see what they're hoping for. And maybe we ought to be thankful for what we're hoping for ahead of time. Maybe you ought to thank the Lord for the people that are going to be sitting in some of these empty spots in the time to come. We're praying for that. We're asking the Lord to make disciples. We're asking the Lord for people to come in and get saved in the community and let us be a powerful light for his kingdom. So let's just start thanking the Lord for that. Amen. It's hard. I know it's hard. Everybody gets discouraged from time to time. But start thanking the Lord. Be thankful. Somehow thank the Lord. Lord, it's like, Lord, we want people to come, not just to fill up the church and say we're some great church, but we want people to get saved. We want people to hear the gospel. We want people to come and help us go into the world. The more hands on deck, the better. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you for the ones that are going to come in the near future to be a part of who we are. That needs to be the prayer, y'all. Because the more we live in that, the less discouraged we get. The more we can dismiss the lies that Satan will say about this church or any other church in this part of the world with limited resources as far as people are concerned. We can be people of faith because we're thanking God in advance for things that we have yet to see. Right? Because we know God's faithful. When I say the Lord is faithful, all y'all, every time y'all say what? Every time y'all are like, amen, he's faithful. Okay, well then thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in this coming year. We thank you, Lord, even if Jesus comes back before 2024 happens, thank you, Lord, for it all. Right? We thank the Lord for anybody else that would come along that would help with the children. We thank the Lord for anybody that would come along and help with music. We thank the Lord for people to help in the back. We thank the Lord for people that come along in the pews that are going to be helpful in whatever it is the Lord's going to have us do. We thank him now for it. And we're not saying it as a magic word to make him do it. We're saying it because we actually believe he's going to do it. Might as well go on ahead and get ready to be thankful for it. He's recognizing, Jesus was just recognizing the Father for who he is. Y'all realize that this is our Savior, Jesus, God in the flesh, thanking the Father. It tells me that, okay, that kind of relationship Jesus needed to have with the Father for him to do what he was doing in the planet. So wouldn't you think that's what we need to do? If we're going to be about our mission, if we're going to be about the Lord's business, if we're going to be disciple makers, we're going to be doing what the Spirit of God will lead us to do, then we need to have that kind of relationship with our Father. Right? All right. I think I made the point. So think about that whenever you pray over your meals, by the way. Right? It's not when we're praying over our meal, it should not be just a ritualistic situation that we do every time we put food on the table. It has to be a lot deeper than that. Last night we made spaghetti, me and my wife. And we always make enough where we have leftovers. And we didn't have leftovers because somebody, not my wife, decided they were going to eat more than they should. And the Lord reminded me right away, don't be that thankful. I was miserable the rest of the night. I was like, man, I shouldn't eat that much. And the whole time I was thinking about that, you know what I was thinking about? There's people around the world that are hiding from bombs and things going on. And here I am stuffing my face. That's what crossed my mind. You know, when we're praying over the food, look, how can I get a nice, juicy, greasy cheeseburger topped with bacon and barbecue sauce and just anything that's dripping off of it that it caused me to have a heart attack and then ask the Lord to bless it to the nourishment of my body? Seriously. I'm not saying that's a wrong way to word your prayer, but I'm saying let's think about what we're saying when we pray over even our food, right? When I sit down and there's food on the table, I'm like, Lord, there's people in the world that don't have this. And I got plenty. Right? And it's more than thanking the Lord for the provision. It has to go deeper than that. It has to be, this is just a snapshot of who our God is. And his faithfulness. It's just a small glimpse. Even if it's a greasy, really good, yummy cheeseburger. Why do I get to enjoy life like that when other people are eating porridge that really probably don't taste that great? And they've been doing that their whole life, and they could care less what things taste like as long as they get something in their belly so their belly don't start eating itself. See what I'm saying? Every time we thank the Lord for anything, it's acknowledging him for who he is. And if we're going to be people who walk in faith, people who live by faith, we're going to be thankful ahead of time. We're going to be thankful for things we don't even know. We're not even there. We need to be people who are thanking God for things that might not even come into existence until after we're dead and gone. I don't mean to say that too harshly, but that's the case. We don't all have tomorrow, right? We do too much. We do too much worrying about things and not enough thanking God for how he's going to deal with those things we're worrying about. Right? All right. Point number two, y'all. John chapter 11. Check this out. John chapter 11, in verse 41 and 42, we see Jesus once again dealing with a situation. John chapter 11, verse 41 and 42. Lazarus is dead. Y'all know how that went. The ladies are crying and everybody else around is mourning. And sometimes they're even saying, if you wouldn't have been late, this wouldn't have happened. Talking to our Lord, talking to their Lord, not realizing what they're saying, of course. Jesus said to her in verse 40, well, first in verse 39, Jesus said, "Remove the stone, Martha." The sisters of the deceased said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say that to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" That's faith, y'all. He's saying if you have faith, you'll see. That's what faith. Faith is believing in what you cannot see and what you hope for. Ahead of time. Trusting God. Believing in God. So, verse 41, they removed the stone. By faith, they trusted God, they believed Jesus, and they removed the stone. Then Jesus, raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me." Our Savior Jesus, right before he's going to do another great miracle, looks up to the Father and thanks him for hearing his prayer. Does that seem strange to y'all? It doesn't seem strange to me. It shouldn't seem strange to us if we know our Savior and we know the way the Lord is. But it's just something that maybe we gloss over really quickly sometimes when we're reading over this. Sometimes we read the Bible too fast, thinking we're finding the main points and skipping over what we would inadvertently call the yada yadas of the Bible. You don't yada yada the Word of God because it's all there and it's all important. And he said, he lifted up his eyes to the Father and he says, "I thank you that you heard me. I thank you, Father, that you heard my prayer." Anybody ever had an answered prayer in your life? Most of you should if you're paying attention to the Lord in your life. If anybody says no, it's probably because you're not talking to him. Or you're not paying attention because he's involved. And he's answered prayers that you don't even know about. He's so involved in your life, he knows things about your life that you have no clue about. So he says, "I thank you for answering my prayer. I thank you for hearing me." Verse 42 says, "I knew that you always hear me." Jesus is saying, "I trust you, Father, that when I talk to you, that you will hear me." And I don't know how often it happens in a believer's life. Sometimes we offer up a prayer and we're not certain that God's going to hear that. I think it could be an honest emotion or an honest thing. But if it's always the way it is, there's probably something that the Lord needs to help us with. Because it has to do with trusting God. It has to do with knowing Him and then trusting Him. It has to do with being so close to Him and knowing so much about Him that we say, okay, if the Lord says, call on my name and I will hear you, then it must be the truth. So why wouldn't we call on His name? Why wouldn't we call out to Him in our prayers as we do? But I wonder how often a believer offers up their prayers for whatever and then somehow walks away from that prayer time saying, I hope the Lord heard that. Or I hope He answers my prayer. Or I hope He does this. Or I hope this happens. And Jesus said, look, Lord, thank you. Father, thank you for what, for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it out loud. He said, like, I said it out loud so all these people here can hear me. Because remember, they're crying. They're mourning because Lazarus is dead, and they believed that Jesus could prevent it, but now that he's dead, now that's the limit of their faith in that moment. Not realizing totally exactly who Jesus really is. He says, I said it out loud so that they may believe that you sent me. Have you ever considered that your thankfulness, your attitude of gratitude, and your walk of faith, by faith, has everything to do with your witness and how people see you as a Christian? And how successful we can be when we go into the world to make disciples. I really believe. I know it's obvious that there are many in the world who are dismissing God and could care less. But I still believe there are also many who are really seeking the truth about His existence. And they're so discouraged because they're not finding Him. And they're coming to some conclusion that maybe He doesn't exist because they can't find anybody that actually is living in what is true about Him. Some people are finding that because they're running into believers who are walking by faith and they're living grateful lives, right? You ever been around somebody who's just thankful for everything that happens? They're just thankful for everything. I mean, for every little thing. Thank the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for that. It's great, but it's at the same time, if you're not in that place, it can be annoying, can't it? It's like, what is there to be thankful about? You ever been in that place? You don't have to admit it. It's true. We've all been gotten like in a funk where we just don't feel very thankful. We're just kind of discouraged or depressed or mad about something. And it's hard to thank God when you're there. The Lord knows about all of that, but He just doesn't want us to stay there. He doesn't want that to be our existence. He wants us to be the kind of people who are like Jesus. Who are like Jesus. I'm not just thankful to God because He hears my prayers. That's true, but I'm not only thankful to God, and I'm not only willing to say it, but I want the whole world to see that that's the way I live, because I want them to know my God. The prayer is that our witness would go so far ahead of us before we ever open our mouth to say any scripture that it would impact the world. And then when we do share scripture, they're more open to receiving that truth. Because the truth that lives in you is way more powerful than the truth that comes out of your mouth. Hello? So it's for the purpose of His witness that Jesus called out to the Father and said, thank you for answering my prayer. He's trying to say to all these people, if you just call out to the Father and trust Him, there's no need for all this worry. There's no need for all this anxiety that you're living in right now. If you knew who I am, this would not be happening in your heart and in your mind, because you would trust me. Doesn't that convict us? Doesn't that cut us through the heart when it comes to worry and anxiety every day? That seems to be our kryptonite, doesn't it? Worry and anxiety. It's hard not to worry about stuff. It's hard not to think about stuff in a way that causes harm to us mentally and physically and emotionally and even spiritually. That's why the Bible, the Word of God, and the teachings of our Savior constantly telling us, don't fear, don't be anxious for anything, and don't worry about stuff. You put it together with be encouraged, right? Take courage, be encouraged, have faith, trust God. Seems like a no-brainer to me. Seems like we would be a lot more thankful if we spent less time being worriers and more time being grateful to the Lord. I think we'd be closer to Him, and we'd also be making more disciples, and those people that we've already thanked Him for that are going to come to our church and be saved and help us go and make more disciples, they will start showing up, y'all. Right? Okay, people that are living by faith are people who celebrate answered prayer. Before and after. Right? We have a prayer list here at the church. Everybody gets it in email. If you don't and you want it, let me know. We'll get you on the email list. But there's a prayer list here. And there's a lot of concerns on it. And they're important. And we cry out to the Lord about it. Help us know that you're involved. Help us know that you're working in that. Help us to continue to pray about these things so that you might show yourself to those people and heal these people and solve their problems. But if that's all we do and we never spend time thanking the Lord for everything that's happened over the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years in our family and here in the church, God's done some great things with all of us, hasn't He? We got to be thankful. Not because we got to. We should desire to. It should be who we are. It's for the purpose of giving praise to God for the sake of our witness. All right, last piece of scripture, and we'll circle the runway. Luke chapter 22, y'all. Luke chapter 22. Now, keep in mind, we're looking at the example that Jesus set for us. If we're going to be like Jesus, then we want to be thankful like Him. We want to be thankful people. We want to thank Him in the appropriate ways. Thank the Father for that. Jesus, have y'all ever thought about this? Jesus was thankful for the cross. We just sang an old rugged cross. And if you think about, or maybe before you were saved, you might have had these kind of thoughts. But you think about somebody who's not saved, who's not a Christian. They're not hanging around Christians. They don't know nothing about it. And they hear us singing about an old rugged cross where a man was killed. Brutally. And we're singing it in such a way that it sounds like we are celebrating this murder. Especially around Easter time, because that's actually what we do, right? We celebrate the murder of our Savior. What on earth would cause anybody to look at that don't understand what it is, they don't know anything about it? What on earth would somebody look at a group of people like that and say, oh yeah, I got to go be a part of that? Those people are weird. But Jesus Himself was thankful for the cross. Look at Luke 22 and starting in verse 14. This is the Lord's Supper. This is where Jesus is sitting with the disciples, and He's preparing them for the fact that He's about to go to the cross, and He's sharing with them all of these things. It's really where we've learned how to share in communion together, how to every time we come together, every Sunday at least, we come together and we remember the sacrifice that our Savior made. We remember His broken body and His shed blood. Here's what Jesus had to say in verse 14. When the hour had come, meaning when it's time for Him to go to the cross, He reclined at the table and the apostles with Him, and He said to them, here's what He said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Look at verse 17. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. That's verse 18. He's preparing the disciples for his brutal murder, his crucifixion. They're going to beat him, they're going to whip him, and then they're going to nail him to the cross. They're going to spill his blood, and they're going to break his body. And it seems like he's talking about some wine and some bread. Hopefully we all know that he's not talking about some wine and some bread. And while he's talking to them about these things, he says, or verse 17 says, he had taken the cup and given thanks. He's giving thanks for the cup, for the shed blood, y'all. Then it says in verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Our Savior, who died on the cross in a terribly gruesome manner, just before doing so, gave thanks to our Father for that, for what was about to happen. Okay, what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with us being thankful like Jesus? If we're going to be like Jesus, how are we going to be thankful like that? Because we're not called to go to the cross the way Jesus did. Not necessary. But we are called to take up our cross. We are called to love people the way Jesus loved people. Requires sacrifice, doesn't it? Requires hard things to do. Requires self last and others first. If you go to any place where a crowd is drawn to, whether it's Disneyland or whether it's Bucky's gas station, everybody's trying to be first in line. Because they're going there to get whatever it is they paid to get so they can be entertained or they can experience whatever they're experiencing. But the Christian life isn't like that. The Christian life is go into the world and serve people to the point where they want to know all about you. And Jesus said, be thankful for being able to do it that way. The Christian life doesn't make sense to the world, y'all. It doesn't compute in the world's way of doing things. Because the world says self first. God says God first. And our Father sent his Son into the world so that he could put himself on the cross to serve all of us in that way. Jesus came to be last so that we could be saved. He came to be the least of us all so that he could be saved. Now, make no mistake, when he comes back again, it's not going to be the way it is. When he comes back again, he's going to be reigning over all of creation as he is now. He's going to come back as a king, not a servant. So if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be the servant to one another, to those in the world that are lost, to our Lord, to each other, to myself somehow, and be thankful because of it. There has never been a genuine Christian that is being used in valuable ways for the kingdom of God who is grumbling and murmuring and complaining about having to be a servant for the king. Right? I can't believe I can't be first. That, disciples tried to do that. Remember that? They were like, hey, can we be like sitting next to you right and left? And Jesus is like, you don't even know what you're asking to start with. And second, you couldn't handle it if you did know what you was asking. So now, how many of y'all are just thankful to be part of the family because of Jesus? Aren't you grateful just to, I'm just glad I'm in the door. There's times when days that go, even now, since I was saved in 2002, man, that was a bit ago. But even now, there's days where I'm just like, I'm just glad I'm allowed to be in the presence of the Lord. I don't care what it's going to be like. I don't care who I got to sit next to. Just glad I'm there. Just thankful. And whatever I got to do, whatever you got to do, whatever we have to do while we're in this world, existing in this world, to honor God, we ought to be thankful to be able to do it. We ought to be grateful for the opportunity to serve the Lord in that way. Because here's our Savior about to go to the cross, and ahead of time, thanking God for it. That's tough, isn't it? It's tough. Because we're not trained to thank God. Be thankful ahead of time. We're not trained for that. So, just to practice, next October the 18th of 2024, I just want to thank y'all for saying happy birthday to me, because that'll be my birthday, so I'm going to thank you in advance. It's just a practice run, right? Just playing around. As we continue to approach Thanksgiving, y'all, you know, the world, when you go to Thanksgiving dinners, generally, most of the time, everybody knows who you are. They probably know all about you. They know you're a Christian. They know you believe in God, generally. We ought to be the example that others look at on how to live a grateful life. Here's what it looks like to be a Christian. Here's what Christian folks are like. Thank you, Lord. You know what sometimes is the most convicting thing for people at Thanksgiving? You got the whole family sitting around, and no doubt many times there's going to be people sitting at your table that you have been praying for years because they're not saved. I'm not saying to do this, but if the Lord leads you, but if we're just saying a prayer and we're saying what we're thankful for, I'm going to say I'm thankful for so-and-so for getting saved. You think they're not going to go home and think about that? Well, I'm not saved. Not yet. But you should consider it, right? You should think about it. I'm not saying to do those things. I'm saying let the Lord lead you. I'm just saying when we're grateful, things happen. We'll be thankful for our Creator and our Provider. We're thankful for the one who's faithful to us in our prayer life. And we're thankful for our calling to not only to salvation, but our calling to be disciple makers, but to be servants of the kingdom of God. That's who we are. Everything who we are is because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And if we're living a lifestyle of faith, we automatically become grateful people. The Spirit of God will lead us into being thankful the way our Savior showed us to be. Amen? So I thank the Lord for y'all. I thank the Lord for the ones who are going to be sitting next to you in the future. I thank the Lord for the visitor we had last week. And I praise the Lord for whenever he comes back to be with us again. And if he goes somewhere else, I thank the Lord that he's going somewhere else and serve the Lord there. Be thankful. The more thankful we can be, the less opportunity we'll have to complain. You've heard that before. I didn't make that up. Somebody else said that. It's just wisdom I picked up along the way. I thank the Lord. I get to preach the gospel, y'all. Every Sunday the Lord lets me be around, I get to stand up and be used by him in that way. He could have picked anybody else. I would have picked anybody else. But he picked me. Right? All my life I was that kid that never got picked to be on a team. And that was only because we kept moving and nobody knew me. So nobody's going to pick me to be on a kickball team or dodgeball team. But the Lord picked me. The Lord picked you. He picked you. He picked you. He picked all of us to do what we do for him. Isn't that something to be grateful about? Isn't that something to share with other people? Just because they don't believe or they don't understand why you believe or they're against you because they believe, it's like, you know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about why I believe. Because God, out of all the people on the planet, God picked me. And if you'd pay attention, the Lord, you'd find out the Lord picked you too. Sometimes you got to get direct with folks. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Bible study this morning, hell is real. And time is short. And sometimes the fuzzy wuzzy conversations just don't cut it. I'm not saying be mean. I'm just saying, look, you would be grateful too if you understood this. You would be over the top thankful to the Lord if you figured out, if you understood that he picked you just like he picked me. When Jesus went to the cross, he picked us all. Isn't that great? So that's week number one of our 3-week Thanksgiving message series. So I hope as we go along, y'all like hit the door with smiles on your faces and glad to be here and glad I can come to church. Right? Because some places in the world you're not allowed. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. If you don't know the Lord, maybe you should consider it. Maybe you should consider giving your life to the Lord and begin a life of thanksgiving with him. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what the Bible teaches, and we're grateful that we have the opportunity.